Welcome to the EcoCiv podcast. This is Austin Roberts. At EcoCiv, we are collaborating with others from around the world who are working toward an ecological civilization. And on this podcast, we engage leading thinkers in conversations about the kinds of transformations required to create a more sustainable, peaceful, and equitable world. If you enjoy this podcast, you can help support the work that we are doing by making a donation at ecociv.org. Today, Andrew Schwartz talks with Gambian human rights activist Mohamed Laman Saidi Khan. Mohamed is the coordinator for Africans Rising, which is an emerging pan-African movement working for justice, peace, and dignity, and which aims to build solidarity across campaigns for social, economic, environmental, and gender justice. Mohamed talks with Andrew about the mission of Africans Rising, how Ubuntu philosophy frames his work, the need for an intersectional approach to social justice and the climate crisis, the power of youth activism, and why he says that his hope is the masses. And now, here's Andrew and Mohamed.
So I'm here with Mohamed Laman Saidi Khan, who is coordinator of the African Rising for Justice, Peace, and Dignity, which is a movement that seeks to foster Africa-wide solidarity and unity of purpose with the peoples of Africa to build the hashtag future we want. Look that up on Twitter. In toward peace, social inclusion, and prosperity. So, Mohamed, could you say a little about the vision of Africans Rising and the work that you do?
Africans Rising came about when the civil society felt that they need to rethink about how relevant the civil society is to the African people. Because there have been criticism that civil society in Africa is not very much responsive to the needs of Africans. We did a consultation, about 4,000 people have been consulted in terms of what is needed for the civil society in Africa. After the consultation, we did a validation conference where we validated what we call the Africans Rising movement, which is challenging the narrative of Africa is rising, which looks at the small percentage of the individual Africans who are rising in terms of economic gains, but also look at the economic GDP rise. But the Africans Rising philosophy and mentality is challenging that narrative to saying that, you know, the African people in general need to rise. So we decided to name the movement after Africans Rising. The movement is actually bringing the bigger solidarity of the African people. That Africa is known of its solidarity in terms of supporting each other when they're in crisis. So the movement brought together African civil society and different struggles across the continent and as well in diaspora, that we need to be able to support each other to deal with our issues when we're in crisis.
That's fantastic. So can you say a little bit about the founding charter, the Kilimanjaro Declaration, and the Ubuntu philosophy that frames your work?
Yeah, the Kilimanjaro Declaration is the founding charter that when Africans met in Arusha, Tanzania, when we are putting the movement together, about 274 organizations from 44 countries around the continent came together and realized that, you know, we need to be able to build something unique that is able to connect, amplify and support the struggles of Africans wherever they are. So in the founding charter, we agreed that young people need to be at the center of what drives this movement, because we have seen that in the past or in the recent time, young people are in the front line of changing the narrative. Changing the narrative in Africa, moving from the numerous coup d'etats that we have been seeing to now civil uprising. You know, Africans, young people have taken over in Tunisia, in Egypt. Now we've seen new revolutions in West Africa, in Senegal, in Burkina Faso, and Gambia. And then a lot of things are happening in Central and Eastern and Southern Africa, where young people are taking charge. But we also said that women need to be at the center of what we do in the Africans Rising movement. So we came out with five focus areas that we think this movement need to deliver in the next 5 years. What is one is around women's rights and freedom, and then the other one is around climate justice. We are talking about corruption and impunity. We're talking about equality and equity for the African people. So all of those points that we think that the movement need to work around to ensure that we deliver. But we also made something very critical. That is, this movement need to be funded by African people in the long run. Right now, we can take money from everywhere, but in the long run, the movement needs to be funded, because most of the time, when crisis happens, when we respond, or the civil society responds, the criticism comes down to the civil society in Africa, saying that, you know, they are not Africans. They are being influenced by the Western world. So we are trying to see how this movement can be funded. So we have a strategy around individual giving, where we mobilize in 1 million Africans or wherever they are, or supporters, that can contribute to the funding of the operations of the movement, like 1 million Africans contributing $1 per month, $12 in a year. Should be able to sustain the activities of this movement. And then as well, we also believe that this movement needs to be responsive to the needs of Africans. Most of the time, when the response comes, they say, they are from the outside. So now we need to be responsive to the needs of Africans, so that the criticism of our leaders cannot be, cannot have any value anymore. Because now, that's why we launched what we call the Solidarity Missions. The Solidarity Missions are missions when Africans are in crisis, wherever they are. We send solidarity missions to those countries where they talk to the oppositions, but talk to the movements and civil society, broader civil society, but also talk to the government and come out with tangible recommendations and work with these social movements to ensure that their fights and their struggles are supported, amplified, and connected to other struggles across the continent, but as well where Africans are in diaspora.
Mm. Yeah. You mentioned five areas of focus. How are those related to one another?
Yeah, the issue is like the struggles of African people are similar. And then they are all interconnected. When you talk about climate justice, you also talk about women's rights. You know, climate effects, affect the African, poor African women who are in the communities more. So as well, their rights have been violated because of the climate change, and then the governments are not responsive in terms of how to address it. In fact, the world is not responsive. When the world is not responsive to climate change issues, it affects the right of a local woman in Africa more than the right of other people who are in the developed world. So we're looking at all these issues as interconnected. When you talk about equity and equality, it's talking about women have been left out in many ways. So that connection, and then we're talking about the rights of the minorities, the LGBTIQ and all this. So you can see the interconnection of all the different issues that that we are dealing with. When you talk about governance and impunity and stuff, we see now governments cracking down on movements. I've been a clear example of that. I was arrested in Gambia recently. I was arrested last year in Togo. When we go out to support the struggles of movements and then the people, a popular uprising of the people, governments are threatened in terms of seeing the new foundation of democracy that people are demanding for. That people feel that Africa needs to rise, but it cannot be raised by the elites. It have to be rising from the citizens. That the citizens must be at the center of what Africa becomes.
And no doubt you've lived that sort of principle of the citizens rising up as an activist yourself, with a history of working with youth and mobilizing youth for social change. You'd mentioned youth earlier. What do you see as the role of the youth in creating a more just, peaceful, and sustainable world?
Yeah, young people are the cream. And then are the epic of society. They are the cream of society. They are the drivers. And as well, young people have proven to the world that, they understand the dynamics of the world, and then they understand the need for change. Especially in Africa, we have seen that the young people have taken charge of their destiny. The future of tomorrow is with the young people now. So the young people are realizing that if we do not work together to kick out bad leadership, to kick out corruption, to ensure that the countries are progressive, our future will not be great, our children's future will not be great. So they become now more conscious about, driving the agenda. So working with young people for a number of years, I've seen that, the enlightenment of young people is critical. Because when young people know about their rights, and then they're able to see the power of, that human capital that they have, the power of togetherness, the masses, the numbers that they have, they're able to, organize themselves. And when we organize as young people, we can kick the powerful forces that are hindering the development of our countries and our communities. And that's what is happening in the continent. We've seen young people getting organized, kicking out different dictators. And then also young people don't experience some of the brutalities of the dictators. So before they realize that this dictator is so brutal, then they're already on the streets and they're already kicking the asses out.
Yeah.
So you had said that Africans Rising is really sort of a decentered movement, right? It's focused on local communities and the strength of local communities, but also under the umbrella of a shared vision. Yeah. So there's that unity in diversity. So how do you work to connect the local with the Pan-African movement?
Yeah, you know, this movement was you know driven from the people's need and then people's belief that you know the foundation of unity. You know, we can achieve a bigger dream of what we call the Africa we want. And then some people are even saying that, no, it's not the Africa we want, the Africa we need, because the urgency of it need right. to happen now is critical. So connecting the grassroots struggles to the policy influencing processes is critical for Africans Rising. So that's why we organize at local level to challenge the national and regional and continental policies to ensure that the policies are speaking and then they are speaking to the rights of the people, but also, you know, putting the people at the center. And then a lot of progress has been made. Recently, that was 2 days ago or 3 days ago, we are celebrating that the AU have come out with a first ever youth convoy, youth envoy. And this youth envoy come from the people who put together Africans Rising. Aya Achebe from Tunisia have been named as the first youth envoy of Africa. And she comes from the grassroots movement who have been in the front line of that struggle to kick out the brutal dictator in Tunisia. So we can see that, you know, there will be a lot of great progress in at that continental level, because, you know, people who have tested waters, people who have been in the front line of struggles are now sitting on the table to decide in terms of how policies should be formulated, what policies should be put in place for young people and people's rights across the continent.
So this is an amazing vision, and it's one that our organization, the Institute for Ecological Civilization, fully supports. Mm-hmm. So I have a sense of solidarity with what you're about and really look forward to working with you more.
Thank you.
What are some of the biggest challenges that you identify in working for peace, inclusion, and prosperity?
Yeah, one of the key challenges that we face, you know, is the continent is big and diverse. One of the key challenges will be language. You know, Africa have thousands and thousands of languages that, you know, you need to translate all the different things that you are communicating for people to understand. Because the critical thing is for you to be able to build the critical mindset of the people, to understand the challenges that they're facing, but also to understand that the struggles that they're in is not only their struggles, but is the struggles of thousands and thousands of Africans who are in different parts, to be able to work together and then change the narrative. And then also, you know, the challenge around mobility and movement within the continent. You know, it's challenge. It's sad that, you know, people don't have freedom to move around within the continent freely as they will in the Western world. So that challenge is there in terms of barriers. But we have committed in the Kilimanjaro Declaration that this movement will work beyond borders, that is connecting struggles beyond borders, that Africans need to believe that together, through the Ubuntu spirit, we can change the narrative. And then the other challenge might be around, you know, sometimes this few competition between movements, like the name. You know, I want to be, I'm the leader of this particular movement at the grassroots level. I want to ensure that my movement moves. So that kind of name, that visibility is a little bit of a challenge that we are dealing with movements, but it's not a bigger challenge. And then the other bigger challenge will be around financing. You know, bringing this new concept of Africans funding their own thing. You know, what systems, what structures, what mechanisms can we put in place so that Africans are able to contribute a dollar? Many of the Africans can contribute a dollar, but the mechanisms of how they contribute regularly is one thing that we're having a big challenge with. So those are a few challenges, but I think the bigger thing that we have is, you know, agreeing that there is a need for us to come together and create this Pan-African grassroots movement of the people of Africa. It's a big step, and then we've seen that it's contributing to changing the narrative in different ways.
Yeah, I love that idea of changing the narrative. Yeah. It seems so important. Yeah. So what strategies are you wanting to implement with Africans Rising in order to overcome some of these challenges and build the Africa we need or the future we want?
Yeah, one of the key challenges key strategies that we put together is, you know, we need to create that momentum of mobilization, that momentum of, you know, how Africans can work together. So we decided to launch this movement on the 25th of May 2017, after the Validation Conference in 2016, and then in that launch we asked we speak to the different movements across the continent and ask them to organize in their own ways, you know, broadcast in their own ways, showcase in their own ways about the challenges that they are facing, but also celebrate the successes that they are on. So we mobilize 42 countries, thousands of events across the continent and as well in diaspora in 2017, which kind of serve as the moment of mobilization for the movement. In 2018, we mobilized in 56 countries, 49 in Africa, in thousands of events across the continent and as well in diaspora, where Africans celebrate, challenge, and have dialogue with the leaders, but also ensure that, you know, we are able to connect the struggles of the African people. So it's 25th of May is used as a moment of mobilization, as a way of working, but also try to test that, use that as a test of that broader solidarity. When Africans are in crisis, we should be able to mobilize quickly and support that particular struggle. And we've seen that happening in different countries. Another strategy or way of operating is what we call the solidarity missions. We have committed to saying that when Africans are in crisis, we need to be there with them. We need to be in front line. So we send solidarity missions to go in there in those countries and then work with the people. They were in the Gambia when we were kicking out the brutal dictator, Jammeh, who wanted to kill me in different ways. So African Rising came and brought all these civil society together to think around the solutions of the crisis during the impact. When thousands of people are running out of the country, the movement was there to be in solidarity with people. And then I felt in that room that Gambians felt that, yo, Africans are here from all over the Africa to be in solidarity with us when we are in the deep crisis. So that gave a lot of courage and hope to the people in the front line of the struggle. We were in Togo when people are in crisis. We were in Cameroon twice when people are in crisis. And then from those missions, we've seen people taking proper steps and proper actions in terms of, you know, calling for peace, but also reinforcing their struggle to win the fight. And then as well, Africans Rising asked itself, what do we need to do for the activists when they are in need? So we are trying to support what we call Africans Rising Solidarity Residency, which is kind of a clinical residency that brings activists together from across the continent, but also rethink about a particular struggle and see how they can amplify their support and then support that particular struggle in different ways. And then also bringing activists to reflect, also relax, but also get inspiration from other activists, either from Africa, but also from the other part of diaspora. Some of the activists will tell you that I've never had rest. The only time that I will have rest is when I'm in prison, in those residences. Some of the activists will tell you, I'm just coming from prison 2 weeks ago before I attend this residence. So we're kind of giving them a new air to breathe, and then get more new inspiration so that they can work with their brothers and sisters across the continent as well in diaspora in that field, in that struggle for social change.
So you talk about solidarity and, you know, interconnection. And if I understand correctly, that's a big part of the Ubuntu spirit in philosophy. Yeah. Can you say a little bit more about that Ubuntu perspective and what that means?
Yeah. I from the foundation of our civilization as a continent, Africans are known to be supporting each other. When your brother is hurt somewhere, the house is burned down there in a village, the whole village will move out and then go and support to build a new house for that person. When a brother is attacked somewhere, you know, the whole community will go and support that person. So we want to reinforce that shared prosperity that we believe that when Lamil or Buba is not in peace, then Babukar cannot be in peace. We are also trying to reinforce the philosophy of our founding fathers. Kuruma, in the independence of Ghana, said, you know, when Ghana is independent and the rest of Africa is not independent, then Ghana is still not independent. Mm. So we're trying to see how we can drive the agenda of the forefathers to ensure that we attain the full liberation of the African continent.
That's wonderful. Yeah. So my last question is this. In a world of turmoil, one that's filled with systemic injustice, what gives you hope?
Yeah, the hope is the masses. Yeah, I believe that when we are together in numbers, you know, the leaders will fear. What they fear about, especially in Africa, is they fear about their numbers. You know, they fear about the votes, because numbers will actually put them into those systems or into those positions. So Africans Rising in its philosophy, and myself as an activist in my philosophy, I never organize, I never encourage people to go on the streets when they don't have thousands. But when we are in numbers, you know, governments will fear. So there is a more need of popular organizing and then building the consciousness of the people to understand that the governments that are, the people that are leading in the governments are put there by us, and they are servants. They need to serve us better. And if they don't serve us better, we need to organize ourselves and kick them out, because we put them there with numbers, and we can kick them out with numbers.
Yeah. So Africans are indeed rising.
Africans are really rising, and we've seen that being manifested in different ways and in many places.
Thank you so much, Mohamed Lamin Saidi Kam, for joining us. To learn more about Africans Rising and ways that you can get involved, visit africansrising.org.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.